everyone, and welcome to Intimate Realness with Nika Ray and Renair. Renair is not on right now, but she will be joining us shortly. And we just wanted to welcome you all tonight. It's all about whatever questions, whatever answers, or comments that you have and you want to discuss tonight. We will discuss that with you. And so I don't have any new questions tonight, but last month we talked about a few different things, and one of the things that we definitely talked about, and this really relates to the LGBT community, is bed death or deathbed when you have a partner that you're with and you basically, you're no longer having sex. And that was something that stood out to me only because I experienced that a lot with most of my couples. They're not having sex. They're not engaging in sex in any kind of way, any form, fashion. And I always talk about the five forms or the six forms of intimacy that you will need in your life in order to avoid experiencing bed death when you're with someone. And one of the main things that I had talked about before was just being able to connect with your partner beyond the bedroom, learning to actually sit there, have a decent conversation, show them how much you love them, intimate with them outside the bedroom in order for you to build a bonding activity. There was one thing one of my guy friends mentioned. He stated that it was a man and a woman. They decided that they were going to have sex every day for an entire year. And it actually, in the end, brought them closer. And by bringing them closer, their relationship got, you know, became better. And I like to think that it wasn't necessarily because of the actual act of having sex, but it was because of the fact they had something they could actually bond over. They were now really bonding, doing something they had a common goal, and they were really working towards building on that goal. And as they built on it and they met it, it brought them closer. And I don't think it's necessarily the sex. So saying that to say, when you're experiencing a lack of sexual chemistry or passion in the bedroom, you may want to take the time to actually find a bonding activity, something that you all can do together to build the chemistry back with each other again. And whether that is you all play tennis every Saturday or you go and you paint every day, but something when you're on a common goal, when you're planning a wedding or you're buying a house, something where you're working towards an actual goal to get you to where you want to be, and it helps you build a solid bond and a better relationship with each other. Does anyone have like a question, comment, anything they want to talk about tonight before I move on? Okay, well, I guess not right now. So let me just check the Facebook page in 1 second. Okay, while I was checking, it looked like I thought I had somebody on that had something to say. Give me one moment. I'm still just looking at the page. Okay, sorry about that, everybody. I was trying to get to my Facebook page. So I have somebody, 3609. I'm going to bring them on. Hello?
Hello.
This 3609.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
how are you?
I'm
your
good.
Co-host.
How are you? Oh, Rainier. Hey.
Hi.
How are you? You know, I don't recognize your number. I'm still learning this little new talk thing.
I am fine. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
So what's going on?
Can
when
you
I'm
hear
in-
me?
Yeah. I can hear you now. I lost you for a little bit.
Well, I'm here.
Great, 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 great. So what's going on?
So what I was doing, I kind of recapped a little bit about the lesbian bed test that we had talked about last month a little bit.
Okay.
And I didn't have any questions. I was just checking the Facebook page. So I was opening up the floor to see if anyone had any questions or comments they wanted to discuss. If you have something you want to discuss, you have the floor.
I don't know if I have anything I want to discuss. I've had a very long day, unfortunately. I had to go to a funeral of a friend of mine. And I that was the first time I think I've ever experienced not the loss of a friend, because I've experienced that, but being a witness to what happens in the relationship, especially a same gender loving relationship. I don't think I've ever really been to the funeral of what happens when someone passes away. That dynamic and just the way that the service is handled. I think that, like, today I just witnessed a very loving family embrace the changes that have taken place in people's lives. And it's something to have the reverend or the person officiating the service be very on point and keen with the transition that may have taken over the period of time, and just this authenticity that was present. Really emotional, but today was reminded me of the journey that we often experience in relationships and what it could look like, even whether you're with the person or you're separated or however it goes, what happens when the term "to death do you part" becomes a literal way of living. And so that was my experience today. But outside of that, I mean, I didn't have any question per se or anything exactly that I wanted to talk about outside of a quote that was kind of laid on my spread on the way home. I put it on my Facebook page, and it said something like, sometimes you have to let go of someone or something to hold on to yourself. And, you know, we often are met with this moment of, we talk about how to keep the relationships going, how to keep them excited, how to keep them ignited. But what do we do when a relationship is in turmoil to the point that it is conversations around separation, or there is a separation, or, you know, something to that effect, like how do you still create an amicable exchange or an understanding way of being. So that's just something that, you know, was on my mind this evening. You know, when is for better or for worse? So when is it time to, you know, kind of let go? And so that was what was on my mind.
Can you hear me, Renair?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, great.
Are you talking?
I want to make sure everyone knows that, especially from our normal callers and listeners, that we are on a new platform. So if you have anything to say, if you want to say anything, just press 1.
And when you press 1, then I will be notified, and I can bring you on. So it's a little different from what we've done in the past. People just kind of just normally was able to kind of talk. So this one you do must you must press 1 in order for us to know that you want to speak. So I wanted to make sure I said that. But Rainier, I love, love, love what you just brought up. When is it time to just end it? How long is too long with continuing to try to make something work? And I really, truly believe that it is, I always say that nothing lasts forever, whether good or bad. So I do believe that the trouble that a couple may experience in a relationship will not last forever if they are really willing to work on it and they really make amends and make some changes. However, if both parties aren't willing to change and make amends and compromise, then I don't feel like the relationship will work. And it's going to be a time where you have to just let it go and move on with your life. Because how long do you sit with someone and you're constantly trying to make it work, you're constantly trying to be happy, and then it's like you 20 years into it and you're still unhappy. You've wasted so much time trying to find happiness with someone that you basically would never find it with. So I think that we all have to remember that our emotional health is just as important as our physical health. And anytime you start losing your emotional health, it may be time to reevaluate the relationship and figure out if you can heal from this. And if you can't heal from it, then it's time to just let it go. What you think?
I mean, I agree. I think I'm at a loss for words because as a I think I'm at a loss for words. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get to the chat room and I hit a button, so I'm like hearing us in delay. You know, it's this, you know, as a coach, it's that moment of wanting to make sure that we just have genuine conversation, and that's what my ultimate desire is in this season of intimate realness, because I'm often asked that question, you know, inboxed on, what do I do now, because this is how I'm feeling. Their vital feelings, they may even be passing feelings. I may not feel this way tomorrow, but today, you know, I love my mate or I love my spouse, but I don't like them today. And what does that look like when I don't like them today? Does that mean that I will always not like them, or is this a moment, you know, momentary type of thing? And so those are inboxes that I get often. And so it's that question that I wanted to put out there. What do you do when you don't like your spouse that day or that week? Or you look up and it's a month and you definitely are not feeling them. Like, how do you get to a place of repair if that is possible?
I think it is possible to get to a place. So you're saying if you just experience a day where you just don't like your partner, did I hear that correctly?
It could be a day. I mean, I've gotten emails and it's been more than a day. It's been them holding on, hoping that they would wake up tomorrow and feel differently, and they haven't. And, you know, as a coach, and I don't know how it operates as a therapist, how about as a person that likes to mind their business? You know, you never just want to turn to somebody and go, well, sounds like you may need to, you know, let that go, especially if that may not be what needs to happen. So what do we do for somebody whose feelings have come to that place, like they wake up in a place of, I just don't want to do this. How do we get them to hold on to see if that's something that is withstanding or something that is possible to change?
Well, I want to go to, I have a question from 8485 or a comment. So let's see what this caller has to say.
Okay.
Hello, 8485.
Hi, it's Javon. How y'all doing?
Oh, hey, Javon.
Oh, it's just her.
No, I got excited. And hey there.
Oh, man. You know, I'm telling you. I'm pretty good. How you doing, Renee?
I am fine right now, trying to find the chat room. I don't know why my computer will not let me do it, but I am good.
Okay, groovy, and Miss Mika. So I just wanted to chime in really quickly about your question, Renee, in terms of how do we get someone who, let's just say you wake up one day and you say, you know, I don't like this person. That can happen based on a couple of different things. I think that it depends on why they're feeling that way. So it could be something because of something that their partner is doing. It could be because of an ongoing issue that they have within themselves. It may be that their partner is reminding them of something that happened in the past, and now they're kind of projecting it onto their partner. Or they may not even know themselves why they're feeling that way. So I think that the best way to handle that particular situation is to find out why they're feeling that way. And it may be that it's a situation where the partner's doing something and they shouldn't hang in there. For example, it could be that their partner is being physically or verbally or some other kind of way abusive to them. And maybe they need to step back. Well, yeah, you woke up and you don't like it anymore. You can't take it anymore. Or it could be, you know what, it's something that I agreed to get in a relationship with you thinking that you would learn how to chew with your mouth closed. And here it is, 2 years later, you're still not chewing with your mouth closed. I can't do this anymore. You know what I mean? The food is flying all over the place. I can't take it. You know, I mean, it depends. I believe that it depends on what the issue is, what the root issue is. Sometimes people are not actually in love but are lonely until they get into relationships and then find out, I mean, then really admit to themselves that they never really liked the person to begin with. Maybe they just liked the sex. Maybe they liked that the person was nurturing, but then outside of that, they didn't like the other thing. So, you know, it could be a lot of reasons. But if I think if you're in a relationship with someone that you are equally yoked, I'd say, someone who you genuinely like and love as a person, and then one day you wake up and you don't like them, as I always say. And every time I join in on your discussions, it always comes back to communication. What is going on? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Why are you feeling that way? And what can I do to help you? You know, I mean, every situation is different. So that's my take on that.
And I think you made some very good points, Javon. Definitely, I always say communication is the number one thing. If I'm just waking up and I don't like you every single day, I think that's pretty ridiculous. And I have to have some type of real world reason why I just don't like you. And I need to be able to communicate that to you. Because what if, like I always tell people, no one knows your boundaries. No one knows what you do, don't like, whatever, unless you open up your mouth and you tell them. Unless you say, you know, you hurt me when you did this, so this really treaded upon my desires or my boundaries or whatever. But you have to be able to communicate to that to that individual. And if you don't communicate, then you are going to be faced with a lot of the times where you just don't dislike the person that you're with, because they're going to do things that are going to hurt you until you tell them that you don't like it or you don't appreciate it. So communication. Mm-hmm. I love that you said that. That's key. And being authentic, open, honest with your partner, and then open and honest with yourself. What are the reasons that you stick around with this person that you just don't like or you just don't want to be with? Why are you still there? And some people have their different reasons. It's financial security. They're afraid to be alone. Or some type of abusive situation going on. And if it's any of that, then you have to find a way to get out of it.
I think there's another piece, too, that was really interesting to me when, like I said, I get various inboxes. It was just simply that they had outgrown each other. It was really that. Like, in clearly in reading the message, I was clear that they had outgrown, well, she had outgrown, you know, her partner. I was very clear on that. But I try to be very careful, especially with inboxes that come in on Facebook and other things, because, you know, you never want to say something that, especially flat words. We talked about that before, messages, emails, text messages, they're flat. So people can read something and take it a totally different way. And one thing I try not to have is Renair's name attached to your intended response. You know, the one that you wanted to hear, like Renair said, you know, that one from that show, she said you were dead wrong. So I try not to put anything in the message. But I remember Shannon, if she's listening, you know, I hope she hears this from a place of love. I remember saying to her, you know what, you know, I understand that A, B, C, and D happened, you know, but for right now in this conversation, let's focus on the things that you now need to do now that your life has changed. Because her life had changed dramatically. I mean, from living situation to job situation, like ending of the relationship affected everything that she had going on. And I think that, see, I'm very clear when I'm listening to someone. I listen to see where you're headed. And if where you're headed sounds like you're just getting more upset, more pissed off, more depressed, more angry, I'm not going to continue that conversation because I'm not able to be present with your aftermath. So we'll end the conversation, and you'll be somewhere crying, or you done went to slash their tires or burned something, and it's all because of a conversation that I had. So I say all that to say, you know, sometimes it is simply that you reach the point, especially when you've been with someone for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, that what you needed when you were 20 may not be what you need when you're 29. And if that person is not able to flow or adapt with that, it can create this deep abyss where you're no longer able to connect with each other. If I start moving to a place that everything I say to you, if it becomes a never mind, then that means that my conversation is shutting down. My conversation is shutting down, and then I will move into a place where I don't have anything much to say, and it may just be that there's a growth spurt that's happening, that I may be growing a little differently than maybe I was growing 2 or 3 years ago.
I think we talked about that maybe about 2 shows ago, how we do grow during a relationship. And things change. We change. Our needs change. Our wants change. And it goes right back to communication. When those things start to change, we have to be able to communicate those things to our partners as we're growing to make sure that we are having our needs met and that we're staying present in the relationship. So, I like that you brought that up. Any other comments?
Not regarding that. Not at all.
Okay, yeah, I think we pretty much did that one a great justice. I did.
That's it. We laid that one to rest, you know.
I did have another question that came in. And let me get it. Give me 1 second. All right, so this is more towards, I guess, our LGBT community, and it states, how do you handle meeting someone you are really into, but they have not yet become comfortable with their sexuality in public? They haven't become comfortable enough, I guess, to hold your hand. No one, basically, they're just not out of the closet. How do you handle being with that person in a public place?
That hurt my jaw. I'm trying to hold it. No, you know why? Because that is dual-edged for the way I see it. I see it two ways. Now, you know, are we clear that they're in the closet, or are we clear that they're operating in safe mode? I just need to know that. Did they say specifically that they were in the closet?
Well, maybe that they're not necessarily in the closet from the way this email is reading. It's just that they're not comfortable in public with their lover, with the person they're with. They're not comfortable being,
I'm gonna be real with you.
I guess, out in public.
Listen, I as out as I am, as kicked down rainbow flag wearing, you know, I'm happy, carefree, and gay born this way as I am, I have a pause when it comes to some outdoor affection towards my partner. It could be because I live in the hood. it really could be that. But, you know, I'm clear that it's not as safe at times to, you know, be all huddled up. So I would be interested to know where they actually live, because I think sometimes that can play a part, too.
Well, this is what I say. In any relationship, we all have to make some type of compromises. And if my partner is not necessarily comfortable with PDA, because this doesn't just even happen in the LGBT community, it happens in the heterosexual community too. Some men and women don't like to, you know, be publicly affectionate. I don't necessarily think there's an issue with it. My concern would be, why do you feel that way? Is it because you are self-conscious? Is it because this is just something you feel like you shouldn't do in public? Or like you said, Renee, you don't necessarily feel, sounds like you don't feel safe doing
I mean, first of all, I'm not really an outdoor public person when it comes to PDAs anyway. I've never really been that. But I've just been caught in some really dangerous situations being publicly affectionate that now I'm just a little bit more careful. Like if I'm going to get off the train and I'm about to, you know, leave my partner on the train, I may not kiss them and then get off, because now I've left them by themselves to whatever is left to occur, and things do sometimes occur. So I think for me, I'm just very clear. If we're in a village or something, it kind of, you know, there's a freedom inside of that. But if we're coming from the store and I'm about to walk through past a corner of like maybe 10 or 15 dudes and she's trying to grab my hand, I may not necessarily do it. And that's just being honest, because I've just been in some very dangerous situations that the surrounding people were of no help. And it could have really went way wrong.
Okay. I can understand that. I like to say that I'm very open in public. I don't really care. But I can say that even if I'm just with my friend, just a friend, we're hanging out, I do get a little uncomfortable sometimes if it's a bunch of guys around and I'm just kind of walking through the crowd of guys. So I guess I can, I mean, I definitely can get your, understand your point.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it necessarily, and the reality is I'm not saying that that necessarily makes it okay, because the person I'm with may not necessarily understand that. They may feel like, you know what, I want to hold your hand, I should be allowed to hold your hand, it is what it is. So I think that, you know, that's a different kind of conversation based on experience. If you've encountered something like that, it kind of does make you think a little bit differently when dealing outside publicly. That's what made me ask the questions, like, was it they're in the closet or did something, is there a reason maybe that they're not, you know, necessarily affectionate publicly?
From what I gathered from the question is because they're very uncomfortable with their sexuality. From what I gathered from the question, that's how it was written to me.
Oh, yeah, that's a different, that's a, I don't mean no offense. Let me put that disclaimer, dot, 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 asterisk, asterisk. I understand that everybody cannot be out of the closet. I get that. Some things that people, it costs, people are not willing to pay. I get that. But if you decide that you're going to be in a relationship with someone and you're free and out and about, then you have to take some consideration into if you're able to have a relationship with someone that's in the closet. I've been there. I was like, no, I can't do that. Because I might forget that, you know, I'm not your good old friend and say something in front of somebody that lets them know that we're in a relationship and dealing. I don't have time to act because I might forget the script and blow up your whole shop and then and then you're mad at me. So, no, I can't. I can't do it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Well, I tell people, I've had a client come to me before, and she was dating someone who wasn't necessarily out of the closet. So she had to deal with a lot of backlash with her family, their friends, all this kind of stuff. And my main thing is this, if you know who you are as a lesbian woman or a gay male, and you know what you want, you know what you need, you know what you desire. I don't think in all of that you want what you need and desire, that includes someone who's out of the closet, that's not out of the closet. Because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of, it's, first off, it's a lot to fight through when you're out of the closet as a couple and you're trying to navigate this heterosexual world. But to try to do that with someone who's not out of the closet would make it even harder for you. And it makes it harder for your relationship to build a solid bond, in my opinion. That's just my thought. So I don't know if it's a good idea to enter into a relationship with someone who's not necessarily out of the closet. And the person who's not out of the closet, I think that until you're ready, then until you're ready to live the life that you are living, until you're ready to be a lesbian fully out and open or a gay male fully out and open, I don't think you should pursue a relationship either. I just don't think. You still have a lot of internal emotional things that you have to work through first before you decide to go and allow somebody else to come into your life. Especially someone who's out of the closet.
Yeah, I stamp that. I stamp that. My absolute stamp of approval, because that's hard, and it puts a weird burden on the other person to act in this world with you. But I have mad respect, and because I don't want anybody to get offended and think, oh, why are they saying all that? I have mad respect for people that are able to do it. I'm just clear that I'm not good at it. I tried it. It didn't go well. I'm not good at it. I'm not. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I've never tried it. And don't think I'm really interested in trying it. But, you know, I can understand those who do, and I just think that you have to be emotionally strong enough to handle it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a different level. That's why I said I applaud people that can, because that's a different level of, it's one thing to not be able to go to, I've seen dynamics where you can't go to the family function and things like that because, the relationship is not accepted. But it's a different ballpark to operate as, Aunt Lily or Uncle John around the family, around the kids, around the, that's, I applaud it. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, if anyone has a comment or thought in regards to this question, feel free to press 1. If not, then we're going to move on to the next one. Well, this person is texting me their response. And it looks like they're saying the more aggressive partner is always at a greater risk in times of public affection. So often, the femme ends up becoming the protector.
Wow, that's the truth. And then that introduces another dynamic. Wow, that's interesting.
I think that is very true, because especially when in the case of a femme with her aggressive partner, if they're out and a guy, tries to hit on the femme or may say something rude or nasty about the aggressive partner, I guess normally it will take some time for the femme to kind of stand up and say, I'm not interested, or we're together, or something, in order to, I guess, protect the aggressive partner. I'm just trying to see how it plays out.
Well, and that was when, the unsafe things happened. It was because it was deemed just from their visual. We were just walking down the street. You see what I'm saying? So the apps, I always say that aggressive and very effeminate men are often on the front line. They're on the front lines. There's no hiding for them. There's no I can't think of the word I'm looking for, where you kind of just you kind of can assimilate into what is happening. You can't. It is not possible. And so they're often on the front lines of the journey that a lot of people get to experience from the back seat. They're not even in the front seat. They're outside the car walking, where everybody can see them. And so it opens up the door for pain, trauma, danger, incidents. It just opens up the door for that to occur. And so they're absolutely correct. It shines a spotlight on them. And then, of course, now the femme, she's like, what? No, mind your business. Now she's loud and she's fighting and she's out there, and it just becomes this big thing. So oftentimes it's like, I don't want to put us in that. And we've seen many people get hurt, even killed, at the hands of someone who just had an issue with just the way they chose to live.
Yeah, I agree. Give me 1 second. I have somebody else that wanted to chime in really quickly, so I'm going to bring them on. The 7973 is Shonda Rice. I'm going to bring her on. 1 second. Shonda?
Hey, Mika. Hey, Renee.
Hey.
Hey. I just wanted to say that was... Hey, Renee, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey.
I just wanted to, that was actually my comment. And I've noticed
I don't know why we're doing the show. We're talking about stuff that's not appropriate for you. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that's absolutely true. That's my comment, Rainier, because it seems that if I go out with Mika, for instance, and Mika is, of course, ultra feminine. We've been in a situation before where we were in a mixed crowd in downtown Atlanta, and there was this guy that was with his wife or whatever that just kept staring at us. But he's staring at me, and he's staring at me. You know the look where they're looking at me like I've made her gay. I'm the reason why she's, you know, I'm the cause of this dysfunction because I'm the one that's not in a dress and heels. So it becomes a very scary situation. As a result of it, if she knows I'm in danger, of course she's going to start being the aggressor or the protector, so to speak. So it can be very dangerous at the end of the day for both people because now he's upset because she's not giving him the attention that he wants, and it's my fault, and she's the bad guy too now because she's trying to protect me from whatever harm may come from him being upset.
Right.
So it kind of gets to be an ugly situation that you can't show affection. I can remember a time where I would be more openly affectionate, almost as a way of not taunting a male, but just saying, you know, this is my spouse or this is my girlfriend or whatever, and having no regrets about that. But you can't really do that because you don't know whether it's a nut that you're going to be dealing with or not. So sometimes you just have to kind of conform to your surroundings.
Wow. But that's the truth. And I don't think people really think about that, like the magnitude of that, how that feels to, you know, if someone goes, you know, that's your girlfriend, in the back of your mind, you don't know if they're asking because they're about to harm you or if they do.
Yeah.
No, like, do you have to, and sometimes you might even do like a, you know, an Abraham kind of thing, like, no, that's my sister.
Right.
Because you don't know.
That's my cousin, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as a protective measure, I think. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Shonda.
I was just going to say, as a protective measure, I think even at one point we've discussed being out of town and saying, you know, if something happens or if somebody is approaching us, then all of a sudden we're related, you know, in some way, because you have to think quickly in situations like that, and it may not be the best time to try to be a hero and be brave and, you know what, okay, I'm gay, this is my wife or whatever, it may be a time that you have a plan in the back of your head of what you're going to say to this person because it may mean life.
I agree. I think that's a good point to make because I know we have talked about that in the past of saying that we're sisters, if need be,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that our medical needs are met without distractions or without conflict. So I thought it was a great point to bring up for that particular question.
Thank you for your honesty and your transparency. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, we appreciate it. All righty. Well, any other comments or questions in regard to this topic? Okay. Well, I have someone sending me an email now. It looks like she's joined from the site. Give me 1 second. Oh,
wow.
She just said that she – oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to, you know, talk while you were looking just in case, you know. It took a second, but go ahead.
She just said she wanted to say this is an awesome platform. I look forward to hearing more of this in the future, especially relating to spirituality. First, we thank you very much for tuning in and listening. She's listening from the website, so she's emailing us from there. But we do appreciate people listening and taking the time to join us on this call every second Monday of the month. The reason why Renee and I decided to do this, it's definitely geared towards our LGBT community, but of course, you know, it's been kind of open to people. But we wanted something for a platform, a space where we can talk about our relationship issues, our intimacy concerns, and dating questions in a comfortable, safe environment where we are not feeling attacked in any way, and our thoughts and our concerns are really being heard and actually addressed. And a lot of times, I guess it even can go back to what we were talking about just now about not feeling comfortable enough to be yourself in certain environments. And I mentioned it earlier, it's like navigating the heterosexual world. Everything is, you know, anytime there's a dominant culture, everything is mainly geared towards that particular culture. And that's how it is when you have books that come out on intimacy and movies and relationship, different things regarding relationships, it's more than likely going to be about the heterosexual community. I do believe that we have many similarities. You know, our relationships are not that much different from heterosexual relationships. However, we want to feel comfortable enough to discuss them and talk about them and know that it's safe and it's okay and that we're okay. So those are the biggest reasons why we wanted to start something like this for geared specifically towards our community. Renee, you have any thoughts on that?
It's funny because tonight in class, I'm taking this class on youth pedagogy, you know, teaching youth. And so we had to give life narratives. And tonight was my turn, and I read from Domestically Cursed, which is my book around domestic partnership violence, and had the conversation with my heterosexual class. Like, I'm the only one in the class. And so there was this awkward moment of I could tell that it kind of made a couple of people uncomfortable. But when we're talking about a life narrative of something that greatly changed my life, that is it for me. And I think that, again, like I said earlier, everybody can't be out. Everybody can't be that kind of voice. Like, everybody will find, not everyone, but some people will find their voice for what they're able to find their voice for. For me, I'm always going to speak out about who I am and run the risk, except for that whole PDA part, run the risk of being clear that it may not always work for everyone. And I used to run an open mic here in New York, in Harlem, for about 5 years called Speak Your Mind. And the reason that I created it is because I kept going to open mics where somebody would get up and do a poem. A lot of times, right after someone would get up and do a I'm free and I'm gay kind of piece, and somebody would get up and do this hetero homo bashing kind of I need to send you to hell abomination kind of poem. And what I realized is we needed a space where we could come and just be poets and be artists and be okay with that. And for the most part, out of the whole 5 years, I can tell you one time, I had someone intentionally sit and wait to the end of the program to get up and do a poem in a reggae song at that. you know, burning everybody. And so I think that it is imperative. It is imperative. There's no disrespect or no love taken away from the heterosexual community, our brothers and our sisters. However, there has to be a place where we can come and just voice what's going on in our relationships, voice what's going on in our hearts, our souls, the brokenness, the healing, the things that have to take place, what happens when we're spiritually depleted and we don't know, you know, we can't find the God that we know created us. Like, where do we go for that kind of stuff? And so that's why things like this have to be. It's not being elitist or discriminatory. It's not being any of that. It's understanding that we need a space sometimes just to be and be okay with just being.
I agree. I wanted to make sure to address this other comment that was left just a moment ago. Okay. So she wrote it in the Facebook invite, and her question is, one of my favorite quotes on sensuality was uttered by Nicole Kidman, believe it or not, who said, "You don't have to be naked to be sexy." When is it too much in your face? When is it just enough to pique interest for more, or is it a matter of preference? And I just want to speak on that real fast. I feel that sensuality, when we learn how to master sensuality, then we will realize that we can be fully clothed and still be sensual and sexy all in one. It doesn't mean that you have to be naked or even show boobs or even show your booty, your thigh. You don't have to show anything. Sensuality comes from the inside. It is an attitude. It is who you are as a person. And it's the movements you make, the eye contact, the way you move your lips. You may walk a certain way. And that is how you display that you're a sensual person. And it comes across as sexy to some people. I do think that it is a matter of preference. Some people think that sexy is your boobs out, you know, or your butt showing, or really tight, skin-tight jeans. And but I think that if we all learn to just appreciate each other as people first, we can find the sexy and the sensuality in who we are, as opposed to what we wear and what we're showing on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to take control of that, and that starts with, in my opinion, a lot of the women. We have to take control over what is sexy and what's not sexy by making better choices with the way that we dress and the things that we accept from men or females that define or try to define what sexy is for us. That's my thought on that. If y'all want to share anything, feel free.
Well, my thought is that this sounds like this needs to be our September topic. That's my thought. I think that we could have a whole dialogue on sexy is as sexy does. I believe that it's preference. I honestly believe that it's preference, because sometimes you know, I can honestly say that what I liked at 21 or 22, I don't necessarily like at 39. You know, so I think that, too, it's the evolution of self. You know, do I necessarily want my spouse walking around with everything revealed, as sexy as that might be? No, I don't. So, you know, unless we're in a house, but that's a different conversation. I think that it's a matter of preference, but I do believe that can lead us down a conversation around what that looks like, because some people are revealing because their self-esteem is low. Some people are revealing because they have high self-esteem and they just know that they're built like that. Then you have, you know, people that prefer it because they need to have a trophy on their arm. But then you have some people that prefer it just because that's what they like. I think that this opens up the avenue. And, you know, God always blesses us with a topic before we get off our show.
Yes.
For the next month, and I really believe that this is it, because this can be a real serious conversation around what does sexy look like and what do the perceived visuals mean to people.
Okay, I like it. I think that is a great topic to discuss, and I think it can also play a little bit into self-confidence and self-esteem as well. So I think that's what our next one will cover. And we can say so much about it that it's really not enough time to even talk about it right now anyway.
So right.
We are wrapping up the show. Any final thoughts before we go? We have 2 minutes.
My final thought is, you know, right now I just send my condolences to the Robin Williams family. If there's a conversation around mental health that, you know, I hope that we can go down and even, you know, and you know, I know that's your field as well, to have a show where we really talk about what that looks like as well. So, you know, that's my final thought. And it'd be next to just, I'm thankful that we were able to, you know, be on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm thankful to Javon, and I'm just thankful that we have this platform that is growing and that we're able to have an authentic conversation with our community. It's just a feeling. I came in the house exhausted after leaving my house this morning about 7:30 and just getting home right before the show, to being energized and just revitalized, and I know it's because of the hour we just spent together. So I just say, you know, thank you, blessings to all of you, and I give the microphone back to you.
Okay. Well, I just thank everyone who joined us tonight. We just appreciate it, and we hope you come back next month, and we just look forward to you talking more and chiming in. We know this is a little different from what we've done in the past, but as long as you press 1, you're able to still share your thoughts. So we look forward to seeing you all next month, and I hope you all have a great night.
This show is archived. It'll be archived. We'll be able to share the show.
Absolutely. Yes, we will be able to share the show, and we will, as soon as it's ready, I'll share it.
Awesome.
Yeah, just want to let everybody know.